Today's parak in Tanakh is Shmuel Beis Parak Dalad, and we saw in our previous parak that Avner thought to bring as the agent for David, to bring all of Yisrael to David, and that didn't exactly work out. Not only did it not exactly work out, the problem is, of course, had it worked out, it might have saved an awful lot of pain in the continued sense of the distance between the elements of the Malchut. Because David had actually asked Ish-bosheth directly to give him back his wife and to accept the fact that he was the Chatan HaMelech, and this way there would be, hopefully, an easing into the Malchus Beis David, in which David undoubtedly would have given a position of great chashivas to Shaul's son, just as he had promised Yonatan. And that would have meant that there would have been much pain that would have been saved. However, what happened is that in the murder of Avner by Yoav, we recognize that there was a tremendous amount of chashash. As a matter of fact, there's even a medrash that says, "Vayavoa am livrot et David." The Gemara Sanhedrin says they had a girsa, then the ksiv was lichrot et David, so that b'tchila they wanted to kill him, blaming him for the death of Avner. And then when they saw all of everything that had happened, it became livrot et David. But they realized that he was actually one of the avelim. Yeah. So the truth is that itself still obviously was not enough to soothe what was happening in Binyamin, because the people that were with Shaul, they didn't come, obviously, to this event. They knew only that Avner was murdered. Yeah. And that, I mean, to say the least, was an absolutely terrifying thing. Because not only did it mean that Avner was murdered and that he was the entire basis of maintaining their malchut, but it also meant, as far as they were concerned, that here went somebody to actually try to make peace with David and ended up being murdered for his pains, which means that it's hopeless for there to be anything that David would possibly have. He probably won't allow anyone to survive from Beit Shaul. So this, of course, there was no way to communicate that to Beit Shaul. And so instead of the orderly giving over of the elements of Malchus Beis David and Malchus Beis Shaul, instead we reach this horrible parak in which we find out the bitter end of all of those in Beit Shaul that might have possibly had some connection to Malchus. But what's amazing in all of the stories is the way that people completely and totally misread David. That's always what's astonishing. Here is a person who you'd think has established again and again to Shaul, all of those cases to Shaul, to Avner, never gave anyone reason to suspect that he was a conniving snake, the way that Shaul talks about him, right? And, well, he's very slippery, you know, you never know what he's up to. Every time someone has tried to do something for him, to get him closer to the Malchut, he's absolutely refused, doesn't want anything to do with it. And yet Avner comes to him in the previous parak, telling him, I'm taking for granted, b'chol asher ta'aveh nafshecha. I mean, I know how deeply your desire is driving you, ta'aveh nafshecha, to have the Malchut. I'll bring it all to you. I don't need you to bring it all to me, and I don't need it at all. The whole thing is just so outrageous. And this happens when the Amalekite comes and brings him the proof that he's got the crown of Shaul, and he thinks that's great. Now I'm surely going to be given who knows what kind of a gift, and he gets, for his pains, death, exactly. And so, yeah, it's everybody is reading into David the way, and David lives on a completely different plane, totally, because he's truly a melech. And the fact is, of course, that it was Shaul's own paranoia that created this entire sense of wanting to be melech, and that filtered down to the point where Yoav becomes personal and Avner becomes personal. These are very great people that were drawn away. They are very Shoftim-like, and he is very non-Shoftim-like. Shaul has the transition. He begins with Malchut, and because of Amalek, which is the first test of the Melech, and the inability to sit still, and let things out, let it be. That's the first thing that Shmuel tells him. It was clear at that point that it wasn't going to happen. He couldn't let it be. And this, of course, is what we're going to have to find in David very soon, the same test.
It's because of Shalom Shalom David, if that ended up staying there forever, once someone suspects your motive, it stays there for good, or does everyone?
Yeah, I think it's worse than that. I think that he to a great extent defined the Malchut in a particular way. In other words, it took a very long.
Be suspicious of the Malchut.
And that's what it came about. Instead of being the Malchut, and that's not his fault because he was Shaul. In other words, the very fact that the Malchut was not a natural development the way it was meant to be, for David to get that kind of Malchut, he had to go unbelievably out of his way to avoid any kind of issue, and never was really able to get around the Oyvei David. Always saw him as a usurper, the boy who wanted him. And so, sure enough, Vayishma ben Shaul, this is a very low-class word, as we've seen. Ben Yishai is always upset. So, in other words, the Pasuk is saying, look, once Avner's gone, there never was really. It was all propped up. It was propped up artificially. So the Ben Shaul that we know as Ishbosheth is really not suitable for Malchut. So when he hears Kimet Avner b'Chevron, he falls to pieces. Vayirpu yadav. B'choy Yisrael nivalu. I mean, they thought God only knows what's going to be now. He's going to come after us, this David guy. And, of course, everyone around there was convinced that nothing would find more favor in David's eyes than delivering the Malchut to him as Avner had made a deal with him. And so, there were Shnei Anashim, Sarei Gidudim, Hayuv and Shaul. There were two officers that he used to have, Shema Echad Ba'ana v'Shema Sheni Rechav. Now, these were children of Rimon, who came from the town of Be'erot, HaBe'erotim ibnei Binyamin. Now, I know you're thinking, writes Shmuel, I know you're thinking that actually the Be'eroti was a town of Chivi. It wasn't really ibnei Binyamin. We found them, remember, being on the side of Gibeon, way back in Yoshua. So the various allies of Gibeon, Be'erot. So what's going on? What happened is that the town of Be'erot was meant to be part of the territory of Binyamin and was always looked at as being Binyamin territory. The problem was that there were Jews that were living together there with the Chivi. Rimon was Jewish. His B'nai Rimon were Jews. Vayivrechu ha-Be'erotim Gitaima. And until that point, people in Be'erot had to run away to Gitaima. And this is a town, by the way, is the name of a town. So Gitaim, not Gat. And this appears in Nehemiah, the town. Vayusham garim adayom azeh, meaning until the day of this description. Now, what exactly is this all about? It's not clear at all. Rashi understands that this was the Jews who were running away from the Plishtim. So just as we saw before that a lot of cities were abandoned, so these people had run away on the day that they heard about the death of Shaul. And they had moved to in with these other people in Gitaima and were no longer together with B'nai Shaul because they had run away for their lives. So furthermore, and if that's the case, the furthermore makes sense. Furthermore, at the same time, this is why Rashi's approach really fits. V'leyonatan ben Shaul ben dechei raglai. Now, as a further part of the story, you should know that the other child that might have been in line for the Melucha was Yonatan's son. The problem was that he was lame. And he became lame from that same day in which the Be'erotim had run away. He was a five-year-old, Ben Chamesh Shanim Haya, Bevo Shmuat Shaul V'Yonatan Mi'Yisrael. So he was 5 years old when they, back in Givat Shaul, they had heard of the horrific results of the war. And so they were running because they were convinced that the Plishtim were going to come at any minute, take over everything from Shaul, kill his family, and so on. So in Behala, Vatisa'il Omanto Vatanos, so his nursemaid, who was in charge of him, grabbed him and starts to run. Vayibachov Zalanus, and so because she was running and slipped, Vayipol, Vayipaseach, he fell, broke his legs, they never sat properly, and he was always lame. Ushmo Mephibosheth. Now, this Mephibosheth and Ishbosheth we're the only ones that were currently capable of carrying on this other malchut of Shaul. Now, some learn, some suggest that what might have happened is that these Be'erotim had already gotten into trouble and had attempted to join up with the enemies of Shaul. Perhaps the Radak suggests maybe they'd even killed one of the sons of Shaul, and that's why they ran away. But in any event, what happened was is that this is sort of an aside. This aside gives us background. First of all, the background is there were soldiers that would have had access to the palace because they had used to work them. And now they were out. Furthermore, there was only one other kid, and that other kid was not suitable for the Malchus because he was lame. There was no way that they would appoint initially a lame person to be the Melech. And so what happened was, getting back to today, Vayochu b'nei ribon ha-be'eroti. And so the children of Rimon from Be'erot Rechav and Ba'ana, they come on a very hot day, Vayavol kechom ayom el beit ish poshet, and they know the layout of the town. V'hu shochev et mishkavat zohorayim, he is resting in the heat, taking a nap. V'nei bo'o atoch ha-bayet lokche chitim. Vayaku el achomesh. This seems to be very popular. And so they came to the house pretending to be together with the people that were dealing in the grain trade. And we find that really in that area, the Melachim used to control a lot of the grain trade. It was a way of making money. They get into his private chambers and they murder him. V'rechav v'ana achiv nimlatu. Some actually learned that there were two separate stories, that the Lokhei Achitim killed him. Rechav Uvana came back, Vayavo Abayit, V'ushochev Amitato B'chatam, and they cut off his head to take it. But almost everybody learns that we're finishing the story and then going back to explain the detail. So they escaped. You want the details? Vayavo Abayit, V'ushochev Amitato B'chatam Mishkavo. Vayaku, so they kill him there, Vayimitu. Vayasiru et Rosho, cut off his head, and managed to sneak out and run all night long, Vaykhut Rosho, Vayakhut Derech Arava Kol HaLayla, bringing David the wonderful news that Ish-Boshet is dead and there's no one left now from the family of Shaul, and now he could be happy to be king. And so Vayaviu et Rosh Ish-Boshet El David Hebron, and Vayomru El HaMelech, ah! Inei Rosh Ish-Boshet Ben Shaul O'Yivcha, here is your enemy's head. Asher b'kesh et nafshech, who wanted only to kill you.
But that's not even true.
Vayitein Adonai l'Adoni HaMelech nekamot ayom hazeh mishaul mizaro. May God give our master the king his vengeance against Shaul and his family. Vayad David et Rechav et Ba'ane Achiv b'nei Rimon ha-Be'eroti vayomer lahem chai Adonai asher patat nafshi mikol tzara. This is not the first time somebody was dumb like you. The guy who came to give me the good news, that Shaul died. He thought I would be so happy. And I grabbed him and I killed him. And he was there, of course, to deliver the good news. Well, that was his good news.
He was just a news bearer.
He was just a news bearer. You, rotten murderers, killing a righteous man in his home, defenseless, and come now to tell me how great you are and how much I owe you. Now, besides the fact that you're not a mevaser, you deserve to be punished, and I will be mevayer you. Vayetzav David et naharim vayargum, and he killed them. Vayikatzetzu et yideihem veet raglayhem, cut off their hands and feet. Vayitlu al abrecha bechevron, to let it be known once again. It was very, very important that nobody should ever suspect for a moment that there was joy on David's part for the losses of Shaul. That Rosh Ish-Boshet lakachu vayikbru bekever Avner bechevron. And in fact, they buried the head of Ish-Boshet together with Avner, who had supported him, so that he was speaking of what do you say when somebody supports the guy who's his face? This was his head. Well, it's even worse than that. This was basically the head of Avner. And so he was buried together with Avner, and again, completely with David's, making it absolutely clear that someone who acts in that way will have no hands and feet when it comes to Malchus Beis David.
There's a few heads in Hebron.